Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 103 Pacific Summertime, and today is October 15th. Well, we're closing in 2 days left before the deadline on the USA's default really starts to become very pressing indeed. And we had another piece of pantomime today in Washington, and really what this is doing is it's not doing any favors for the confidence in the USA's political apparatus, but I suppose a lesson that we've all learned over the course of many years is that we can't really equate the performance of politicians with the performance of companies. So while there is still a high degree of anxiety with regard to exactly how all of this is going to play out, it is worth bearing in mind that when you invest in the stock market, you're investing in companies and not the economy, and not least in the not in the political apparatus. So when we think about exactly what's going on, then the S&P had pulled back for much of September and into October, found support last week, and today was the first down day in 5 consecutive days to the upside. So we're getting a little bit of backing and filling. And I think everybody expects that there is going to be some form of fudge or short-term deal agreed to, and that the USA is not going to default on its debt, and that when we think about exactly what is going on in the stock market and in terms of the consistency characteristics and strip out everything else, then we are presented with a progression of higher reaction lows for Wall Street and for the S&P that has held last week, and provided the low in the region of 1650 continues to hold, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. At Fuller Money, we have always broken down our analysis into monetary policy and crowd sentiment and how that is reflected in terms of price action. And in terms of monetary policy, the Fed is extremely unlikely to begin tapering when you have this political intransigence on Wall Street. So the monetary tailwind is likely to remain a positive factor, at least for the next couple of months. And that's generally positive for stock markets. Now, the Nasdaq moved to a new high in here today, and while it finished off that high, it remains a relative strength leader, and the Russell 2000 also is really quite firm in here. While they have short-term overbought conditions relative to the 200-day moving average, they continue to reflect where the growth is in terms of the U.S. Stock market. And on a relative basis, on the political front, Europe is very quiet indeed, and it was the focus of anxiety for a good number of the last few years. But what we're seeing in here today is that the DAX and the CAC have both moved on to new 5-year highs in here. And they also have these little short-term overbought conditions, but really this is quite impressive action. And the Italian market, which has been plagued by political turmoil, has pushed up out of its 18-month range, and that was last week, and has improved on that performance in here this week. So what we're seeing is that while Wall Street was down in the region of about 0.5% in here today, the majority of European markets were up in the region of 0.75%, and some a bit more than that, and the Spanish market was up in excess of 1%. So on a relative basis, the European stock markets offer something of a safe haven in here in the very short term, and also they're trading on lower PEs than the majority of US indices at present, so there is potential for that premium on Wall Street to contract by Europe rising to meet it. And that is generally positive. And of course, on the monetary front, we're being presented with Mario Draghi telling us that they're willing to do whatever it takes to support the banking sector, and very much we have great evidence to support that that is exactly what they're willing to do. And in Asia this morning, the Chinese market was in mildly positive territory, but it continues to hold this progression of higher reaction lows. And news that Rio Tinto has had one of its best quarters in terms of production because of renewed demand from China for heating coal and for iron ore would suggest that the tightening bias, which has been such a factor in China over the last number of years, may be beginning to loosen. And provided we see the stock market continue to improve, then the possibility that we're going to see the medium-term progression of lower rally highs broken is becoming increasingly more realistic. Elsewhere in Asia today, the ASX in Australia rallied additionally, and it's up now to 5,259. It was up almost 1% in here today, and that's another index that is pushing on to new five-year highs. And when we think about exactly what's going on, and the financial media is really focused at present on the political impasse that we have in Washington, and that is sort of a big story, and it really kind of gets us to comment on it. But when we think about the rest of the world, then we're presented with a number of markets that have had these pullbacks in most of the summer, and they found support. And what we've seen in Asia, not least in the ASEAN region, has been something of a rotation, where the Philippines, for example, or Indonesia, had been such high flyers and have had the larger pullbacks, and they've at least found short-term support, but are probably going to spend some additional time ranging. Whereas markets such as Korea or Taiwan or Malaysia, which had been relative wallflowers, have moved to positions of outperformance and have these really rather constructive chart patterns. So there is the world of opportunity out there, and while everyone is very much focused on the very short term in the next few days, the medium term outlook for most of these markets is really very positive indeed. Now, when we think about it in terms of government bond prices, then we've had a large decline for much of the summer and something of a bounce over the last month, but that was such a large decline that it has really quite convincing topping characteristics for the majority of government bond prices, and that would suggest that medium to longer term investors will be looking at these rallies as opportunities to sell as people reassess the bullish outlook for bond markets that has really been in evidence for nearly 30 years and has probably ended. And when we look at the commodity complex, then the industrial metals have characteristics that are that are consistent with base formation development, and that is consistent with the news of increased demand for a number of commodities from China. And gold continues to hold here in the region of $1,280. And that continues to look like it is something that is going to range with an upward bias as the market comes back into a relative equilibrium. And oil was down another dollar in here today, and it can go lower in here if we start to see some of the risk premium being taken out of the market. But with oil, the medium-term outlook is probably more for ranging, considering that if we are seeing the Chinese economy moving back onto a growth footing and Europe emerging from recession, then the demand component of that market should begin to recover. So taking that into account, with the fact that the Saudi Arabians aren't particularly keen on seeing Brent below $100, then that would suggest that we're in for a very much a range-bound environment. And against that background, the low price of natural gas in the U.S., it remains very much a medium-term tailwind. And even though at present natural gas has firmed and does look like it is going to go higher from here, there is such an enormous amount of supply that becomes economic above $4 that the medium-term outlook for natural gas is also very much range-bound. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.